Hey, everybody, welcome to Bat and Spider's October Spooktacular. It's Dale underscore A sitting with perfect posture right now, so his voice is probably butter.
That diaphragm is butter. Open wide.
With me, as always, is Chuck. Chuck, how are you tonight? And
hey, everybody.
Don't answer that, Chuck, please. I'm still doing the intro.
Sorry.
As I said, it's episode 175. Tonight for the show, we watched a movie called Spider Baby, directed by Jack Hill. Foxtrot Bebop in 2021 watched this movie, so that's the closest thing we could get to somebody watching the movie with us. Mm-hmm. If anybody out there ever, God in God's name, please let us know. Are we screaming into space where no one can hear you podcast? Anyway, they go on to say, on the American Horror Movie creation screen, set the slider between Adam's Family and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's a pretty good review.
Yeah, on the head there. Yeah. I read that after. I read that last.
So day. Jealous of these people and the reviews, Foxtrots and Kevs. God, I could freak out.
It's great when they can nail it, like when you can nail it in like two lines, and it just gives you a nice little meaty morsel, and you're like, all right,
yeah, and you're also like, wow, this person is clever,
like a fox,
you know, yeah, like Volpe, clever like a Volpe, as they would say, you know, in other countries, Chuck.
I don't know,
but we don't have to get into that. What else? So stay tuned to the bottom of the hour for our talk on Spider Baby, Sid Haig's balding debut.
Dear God. He's in like every other movie we watch, by the way, this guy.
It turns out, yeah, he's going to be our most watched actor. But before we get into that, obviously, every week we get into our segment of how Lon Chaney Jr. is the worst. You come here for the content that you demand, we provide.
Well, I might have to update my Lon Chaney Jr. hatred after watching Spider Baby. I'll tell you what, the old flaccid goat, Lon Chaney Jr., the probably two handles of vodka in on set. Lon Chaney Jr. I don't know that for sure, but he looks like a man who is not afraid of the bottle.
He was sweating like he had two handles of vodka.
It's so puffy also. It's the puffiness.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But I'd tell you, his natural state, I think it worked well for this character. I think it worked out. Yeah. And he went a little above and beyond, which I was shocked to find out that he did something in this movie that I still don't believe, because I got to look it up to see if it's real. But anyway,
his job was threatened by the creators threatening to hire John Carradine instead. So I guess Larry Chaney decided to up his game a little bit. We're gonna get into that at the bottom of the hour.
Champing at those bits to get to Spider Baby. But yeah,
until then, Chuck, if you notice me like moving my head around to different angles. Old Pappy underscore A has got himself a pair of progressive lenses in his new glasses.
Ooh. Now, what's that mean? Progressive. School me on
that. Progressive lenses, Chuck, means that if I look at you straight ahead, I can see because I can't see far away. But if I move my head and look up ever so slightly and look through the bottom of my lenses, they're reading glasses.
Oh, yeah. Now, do they still do it where you can see the visual cutout?
No, you could probably get that by request, which I didn't think of at the time, but it's an invisible.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's an invisible line. Yes. But it turns out that I hear the smoothies being made back there. Chuck.
This new microphone is really good.
Like you invested, my friend.
I was like, there's no way you can hear that.
It turns out out of this, the lenses in front of my eyes, only a pupil sized hole allows me to see far away. Whoa. And the rest of the lens is just like, oh, we're going to make it everything fuzzy for you. So now if I want to look to my side, I have to turn my head all the way and look to my side.
Oh, no.
It's taking some getting used to.
Do you think you'll get used to it? I mean, I imagine that it wouldn't be on the market if people didn't get used to it, but
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I hope so.
I hope so too. I hope you don't look like a fool half the day.
And the optometrist or whoever I'm trading japes with as I'm trying to be the best patient ever. You know, we're joking about, and they bring up like the LASIK, and they say, well, it's not going to stop you from wearing glasses. I said, what are you talking about? It's like, well, you're going to need readers anyway.
What?
I was like, what? You're not going to fix that? You can't fix that?
Give
me my glasses anyway if I have to wear them.
Can we cancel this LASIK thing? It sounds like it's the biggest scam.
It should have stopped with Kathy Griffin, because Kathy Griffin has suffered enough with her LASIK problems, well documented.
Has she? I didn't know that about her.
You Google Kathy Griffin LASIK.
I'll do that directly after. Sorry, my smoothie arrived.
No.
I get all the smoothie leftovers, by the way, in this house. So,
hey,
I can't let it go to waste.
Something.
Yeah.
No. What are you going to do? Are we going to feed the baby bears out back before they go down?
Oh, speaking of which, a new species sighting in our neighborhood.
Oh, hold on.
Okay. God, I feel like I'm on a battleship. Oh my God.
Talk to us, Chuck. Talk to the audience.
So the other day, what was I doing? I was out in the living room by our big picture window.
Yeah.
I was doing something, probably looking for my water bottle. I don't know what. I glance out the window after petting my kitty cats. And I see an animal running across the road.
Oh boy, here we go.
Into Nancy's yard. And couldn't believe it, Dale. It was like a miracle. I guess they live around here. But I've been here over 10 years, never seen one. It's all bobcat.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Whoa. Okay.
Beautiful beast. Oh my God. The most confident looking cat, just walking around looking for something in the daytime. Because I think they're nocturnal, right? They must be.
I
wonder what he was up to during the day. But yeah, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. I was struck. Ow. I was stun-locked, as the kids say. Couldn't move.
Man.
And I screamed. I was like, Melissa, 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 Melissa,
right.
Get in here.
She knocks the blender over trying to get to see the lynx, the North American lynx. Mm.
God.
I mean, what was the cat doing? Just like, did it stop? Does like hang
yeah,
out?
It was like sniffing stuff, looking around. It was kind of in a hurry, but you know, it was taking its time. You know, I don't know. It was odd to see it during the day. So I mean, hopefully it wasn't sick or something,
right? But probably, hopefully it didn't have rabies.
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you don't need that. A lynx, a lynx with rabies.
No, I don't need that.
Wow. So congrats on a new species find. That's cool.
Yeah. I wish I could have sized it up, but it was like, I don't know, like four of my cats in one, four or five.
Oh yeah. It was like a Voltron of cats.
Yeah. Big cat. A little bobtail. Unbelievable. Oh,
that's what they need. They're made of stronger stuff to be able to survive in the mountains and whatnot.
Yeah. But in other news, I saved myself 1200 bucks. Save myself 1200 bucks, Dale. And it's been something that's been giving me anxiety for the last, 4 months? Ever since I got the quote from the mechanic. And he's like,
yeah,
you need all your brakes done.
Oh,
Mr. Forsman.
Brakes. We're talking, this is how you say, you're talking a brake job. You did, Chuck, if you're about to tell me you did your own brake job.
Yeah, I did my own brake job. I did it. I rolled up my sleeves. I put on some gloves. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. All right. I appreciate that. That's
okay,
great.
Guys, it's a great job. Okay?
I'm not the first guy to do his own breaks. Job. Come on. You're very kind. Thank you.
Thank you. It was nice of you to do that.
I appreciate it.
You did a great job.
So. Yeah. So I, you know, it took me months to build up the courage. So the original thing, I got two built. One was I needed suspension work and one was the brakes. And I was like, well, suspension sounds scary. I'm going to eat that one. I'm going to pay the guy what he wants. I'm going to get that done.
He's got you over a barrel.
Yeah. I knew that needed done. Nah. I still remember the day I was talking with the mechanic. I was like, do I need to do both of these? And he says, he looks, he's like, well, you need to be able to stop the car. and then in that moment, I realized how absurd I sound.
Right. Yeah.
I think what I meant to ask was like, how long can I stretch these brake pads out, sir?
Yeah. How long can you get away?
But so, yeah, I don't know. All it took was some months of anxiety over wanting to not spend that much money.
Yeah.
Finally doing a YouTube search on changing your own brakes. And that did it. That really, that cleared the hurdle. When I saw people doing this and I saw it step by step, I said, you know what? I'm going to have to lay out for a bunch of tools, but it's still going to be way cheaper.
Dude.
So yeah. Ordered my brakes and rotors. I went to Old Harbor Freight, got a 2-ton jack.
Jesus, dude.
Jack stands. Got a torque wrench. Never used a torque wrench before. You know what a torque wrench is?
Yeah, it's like a manual one with the gauge in the middle of it, or is it?
Yeah. And it clicks when you hit the right pressure. So you know your bolt's on there right. Nice and tight. It took me 2 days to do it, to do all four.
That's okay. Okay.
My body is wrecked.
But you did the rotors too, you animal?
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta
congratulations,
do the rotors,
dude. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it's probably pretty standard that, you know, people don't cut down the rotors anymore. They just change the rotors.
They just throw the
old rotors at the bottom of the ocean
or the
river.
And now I have four rotors in my garage that are going to sit there for 40 years. So,
yes, exactly right.
I don't know what to do with these.
Yeah, exactly. What are you going to do with them? They're gonna sit there, and rust.
Yeah.
My God, dude, that's amazing, Chuck.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It was a roller coaster. You know, because nothing ever goes right when you're working on a car or doing anything like that.
Right. It's never as cut and dry as the YouTube video.
I'm going to have to go back in because what's it called? The caliper guide pins on the front. One was seized in there and it took God and some elbow grease to get that thing out, but I got it out. But stupid me is I figured since I got it out and cleaned up the rust a little bit on the pins, that'll be fine. But now I'm like, you know what? I should probably change this out.
Yeah.
So luckily they're like $10. So I'm getting those. So once my body heals and my back heals from the wounds I went through, I'll get back in there and I'll change those pins out.
God damn, dude. I am so impressed with you.
It feels good. I feel different, you know? I almost laughed at myself today because I was out there working. I was laying in the driveway under the car. And I had, I put music on my phone. I was playing Alice in Chains. And I was like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. This is so ridiculous.
Dude, I love you. This is so like... After the first night, did you go to bed with your car jacked up and a tire off of your car?
No. What I did.
Oh, okay.
What I did Sunday was I did the front two, but because it was my first day, I was going slow and I kept checking the weather because I knew at 5 or 6 o'clock we were going to get some rain, which sure enough, it happened. I worked as much as I could in the rain to like, couldn't stand anymore. And I retreated to the garage, put everything in the garage.
Yeah.
And just sat there staring at my jacked up car until the rain lightened up enough.
where I so could, you get back out there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was out there till dark, but I got it done.
Holy shit.
And yeah, I was determined to get up again and do it again. Today was much easier. Yeah. The only problem was...
Amazing.
The only... I did fuck up once because I couldn't get the rotor off. I was doing the rear wheels today. And I didn't realize I had to take their emergency brake off, Dale, to get the rotor off.
Well, wow.
So I was banging on this thing for half an hour, because I thought it was just
holy crap,
rusted on there, because they're always rusted on there, but oh my God.
Yeah.
I felt stupid when I...
How did you know?
I just Googled it, because I was like, please, is there another trick I don't know about to get a rotor off? And then...
Yeah.
I was like, make sure you have the e-brake off. And I was like, oh no.
Thank Christ, the one, God. You know... Highlanderforums.com
yeah.
post,
yeah, exactly,
you know,
like yeah.
just randomly threw it in there.
Yeah.
My first car, 89 Dodge Shadow, shout out to the Dodge Corporation. I was dead broke and I didn't know anything about anything, you know, and I was driving my car until metal on metal.
Yes.
Braking, like grinding mm-hmm. rotors. You could hear ugh. Like the bare brake, you know, shell of a brake pad was grinding into that rotor. So I, you know, since I don't know anything, I had to go, you know, like my girlfriend at the time had like these older male friends. That was always intimidating to me. So George, shout out to George, an older man.
These are your friends, honey? This guy?
It's a little old. I know, right? It's like graduated like 5 years or 6 years after, you know, before us. Yeah. And he oh smoked. God. And
oh, geez.
Like he was definitely over 21. And he was like offered to do it.
Wow.
And I took him up on it because, you know, I needed brakes. And of course, like, you know, I didn't have anything to pay. I paid for the rotors and I paid for the brake pads, but he did all the work for free. And he is like crouched under the goddamn shadow and it's like pitch black because nothing ever goes right.
Oh yeah.
He's probably done 100 brake jobs, but my dumb car is the one that's going to give him problems. Yeah. And I'm just standing there like standing next to him, like baby God. Huey. Like I should have had like a little diaper on and a little bonnet on my, like, I felt so worthless, and George is like smoking with his gloves and he's just like trying to figure out how to fix my car in the pitch black because now I can't get home and I'm stuck in his driveway while he's doing it. Oh my God. What a situation we found ourselves in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus, Dale. God. What I wouldn't give for a videotape of you standing there next to George.
Oh my God. What I wouldn't give to not think that, you know, he was probably just cursing me the F out, you know, the entire time.
Stupid kid.
As soon as I drove away, he probably shit talked me hardcore, yeah. You know, like to my girlfriend.
Gotta blow off some steam.
Yeah.
Man.
God. Anyway, I made it home.
But I should be careful about who I mention this to because other people are going to be asking me.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to be doing brake. Yeah. You're going to be doing brake jobs in your driveway now.
Yeah.
You know,
if they pay me, maybe I can undercut the guys. So yeah, I'm tired and may have a headache, but other than that, I'm feeling much more manly, manlier. My manliness meter is up.
Yeah. There was another time in my Dodge Shadow that we were leaving the Regal Cinemas it was probably like an hour away from, because there was no Regal by us. And I hit a mud puddle that was that was hiding a pothole so hard.
Oh, Jesus.
That it turned out that it like gouged a hole in my oil pan that I didn't know about. And I drove all the way to her house. And then I parked my car and we went in and like watched TV or whatever. And I came out and there was just oil all over the driveway.
Oh,
like
man.
5 quarts of oil like leaking all over her driveway. Like I'm the biggest tool on the planet.
You know what I mean?
Now her dad has to help me with his handiwork.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, my God.
Why do we give teenagers cars? It's just
I know.
It's a nightmare.
I know. My God, I know.
Ugh.
I wish I had it. I had the wherewithal to just take auto mechanics in school or something.
I know. But, me too. I mean, I got the embarrassment. The only reason I do stuff like that, like the brake job, is because I had some of my best friends growing up as teenagers. They were really into cars, and I think being around them and just doing little stuff on my car just gives me a hump of confidence.
Yeah.
That I'm right. not as scared as I would be if I weren't friends with them, you know? Because otherwise I'd be right. like, I don't know.
Right. I don't know, man.
Just give you what you want. You want all my money? Sure, yeah.
Yeah, fine.
I don't know how to fix this.
Take all $6. Chuck, what about this movie, Spider Baby?
Let's get into it. Let's just jump into Spider Baby.
We should get into this. Chuck, what's Spider Baby about?
That's a good question. Spider Baby. It's a family, the Mary family. They live in this big house out in the boondocks. Big old house. And the surviving members of the Mary family are not normal. They have some sort of disease that runs in the family that makes them regress mentally and physically, I think. And they get peculiar habits. Maybe they get the taste for human flesh, stuff like that. And it just, you know, and everyone who comes to this house, it's probably not a good idea for them to come to this house. And what happens is that the matriarch of the Mary family died a few years ago. And finally the relatives come with their lawyer to collect their inheritance of this estate. And they're determined to, for some reason, stay a night in this house with the weird Mary family and their caretaker, who is the chauffeur, played by Lon Chaney Jr. And it's one of these magical movies that I want to be a poet, Dale. I want to be a poet and pick the right words to paint a picture of what this crazy movie is. It was clearly shot on a low budget.
Yeah.
They got one name actor that's, you know, like we said before, looks like shit. He looked like total shit, didn't he? But it makes the movie. It helps out.
I looked it up and I think he passed away like 5 years later.
Yeah. He didn't look good. It looked like he hadn't seen a dentist.
It could have been 5 minutes later, you know.
Exactly. He could have died at the end of the movie, just like his character did. Right. But Dale, I don't know. I mean, we'll try it. We'll do our best to paint a picture of this, but
yeah. You got to see it.
It's to me, this is one of these movies where I'm like, why haven't I seen, why does God hate me? Why did God not let me watch this movie before today? And yeah, that's it. It's just, it all comes down to me versus God when I watch a movie like Spider Baby.
That's what it comes down to. And it's unfortunately, it's like those kind of questions never get answered. You just need to come to peace with that sort of inquiry. This is way better than I was going to give it credit for.
Yeah.
Going into it. But these two sisters in this family, Elizabeth and...
just Harley Quinn could never.
I know. Yes, exactly. Elizabeth and Virginia, I believe their names are. Yes,
yeah. These two.
They are just this combination of chaos, cuteness, innocence, and selfishness. They're just our caretaker. I almost said Louis Gossett Jr. Our caretaker, Lon Chaney Jr., has got his hands full. I mean, he's got his hands full with the three he's got to keep track of, yeah, and not the other three that he keeps in a pit at the bottom in the basement of the house.
Yeah. Who's down there? Who's Uncle Ned? I know Uncle Ned's down there.
Uncle Ned and at least two aunts.
Yeah. Yeah. And boy, man, as soon as they were started teasing Uncle Ned and the two aunts down there, I was like, my mind was painting pictures. Yeah. I had stuff in my mind that didn't come true, but I was thankful for it, the teasing anyway, because it really accentuated the viewing.
I appreciated that this Mary disease was not debunked, and it, like, through the whole movie, this Mary disease was an actual thing that affected generations of this branch of the family. And it was evident with Sid Haig's character, Ralph, who was, man, like, I can see, you know, Rob Zombie's like thinking of like House of a Thousand Corpses. It's like, who can I get, you know, just to kind of pay homage? It was like how Sid Haig was in Spider Baby. Cause this is like, you know, House of a Thousand Corpses, 1967 or something. You know, it's like, it's just chaotic, crazy family.
Yeah.
Before Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much, it's, I was a little like scared at first when I realized it was about like an incestual family that's, you know, a bunch of freaks. And I was like, this again. Like, it's not my favorite horror trope. Like, you know,
I think you're right. I read enough teases to think like, oh boy, you know, this is just going to be another crazy, like Texas Chainsaw Family.
Yeah. Aren't hillbillies scary? You know, that mm-hmm. type of thing. But this was so odd, Dale. It had a weird combination of that stuff, but it wasn't like, it definitely wasn't like the Rob Zombie, you know, like, I mean, it was shot in 1964. So of course it's not going to have that, like that look. Of, you know, we're painting everything disgusting colors. Oh, and this movie's black and white too, which probably helps, you know, that everything's not like yellow or something, you know. But it's such a cool, it's funny. That's the other thing. It's goofy. It's funny. You really feel for Bruno as soon as you see that he's like the adopted parent. Like because daddy, the father of the family before he died promised that he would made Bruno promise that he would look after his children and the house and everything. You know, Bruno's like this put upon chauffeur that like, it's just his duty. It's like, he just signed up for this lifelong assignment and he's just so, you know, and you can tell he genuinely cares for these kids, even though they're, you know, man eating, killing monsters, but I love them. And the man who paid me asked me to watch after them, so that's what I'm going to do.
please treat the children tactfully. You see, they're not accustomed to strangers, and they might act wild if encouraged.
And he's got to keep track. He's got to keep after them. And he promised to keep them safe, and he does want to keep them safe, and he wants to preserve their innocence, but he wants to keep them away from the people that might do harm or take them away.
Yeah. And I was kind of wondering about like how this disease works. Are we like led to believe that like the girls were like, maybe they were adults at one point? Well, cause they say it starts when they're 10 years old, the disease starts, but like, were they supposed to be like adults that are like regressing and that they're like back in their teenage years kind of?
Yeah, that's a good question. I assumed that they were between 16 and 20.
Okay.
And they were at the early stages of this disease, but it was, I assumed it was going to affect them as well.
Yeah.
Especially when you see the end, you know, tease that the daughter of Peter, of Uncle Peter, is like into spiders and she's like 10 years old or whatever.
God, I wanted her to eat that spider at the end. Just come on, just like, eat the spider.
She was a cannibal spider and she needed to eat other spiders.
Yeah.
You know, I liked her. Was Virginia the spider?
I think so. I think she was.
Yeah. Virginia was the spider, the cannibal spider. And her, like her whole, once she got like it in her mind that she was going to like become the spider for her little chaotic antics. It was like the greatest display of a performance art.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's got her like handmade webbing made out of like string or something that she ties people yeah. up with. And for fangs, she just gets out those two giant kitchen knives.
Caught a big fat bug right in my spiderweb. And now the spider gets to give the bug a big sting.
Yeah.
Does a little, have you seen this Britney Spears video? I couldn't.
Oh my God.
I want everyone to leave Britney alone. All right. I love Britney.
Yeah.
Even if she's going through stuff, just leave her alone. She was just doing a knife dance. She just did a knife dance. But holy crap, Dale. If Elizabeth doesn't do the same dance in this movie, I'll be.
Right. You're right.
A monkey's uncle.
I didn't make the comparison, but yeah.
But yeah, she gets out those knives and slices and dices her prey. And Bruno will come home and he's like, what'd you do to the delivery guy? Like, I told you, you're not allowed to play spider anymore.
You know. He's like, Emily, you're in charge here. What's going on? Please help me.
I were you like me where you were so concerned about the letter that guy was delivering that no one was picking it up? I was like, come on, please, just he died to deliver this letter to this crazy house. Can someone at least open it, please?
I know, right? Like, yeah, he was on a mission and he was like, it took 7 minutes for him to find the house and nobody wanted to help him find it. You know, it was definitely some bad news to be delivered. There were times, was Lon Chaney as billed in this movie, Lon Chaney, was he looking directly at the camera several times? Was that, was he looking past the camera?
I didn't notice I didn't notice that.
No. Okay. Like, I wondered when he was doing some of his monologues, almost like he was looking at the girls talking to them, but we were the girls. Like he was looking directly at us. Yeah.
Maybe he was. Yeah. I don't know. It didn't stand out to me, but maybe that's because it worked for me. But
how about the Wolfman reference?
Oh yeah, that was a.
Do you think he required? Was that in his rider?
No, I just think like Jack Hill got the Wolfman in his movie, so we might as well remind the people at home.
Right.
Now we have the Wolfman. Hey, remember this guy? I did get excited when
we're paying him 2,500 big ones for this movie.
Yeah. That's it?
Yeah, he got paid. Yeah, Lon Chaney demanded more money, but then Jack Hill was like, well, maybe we get John Carradine. And Lon Chaney's like, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it for $2,500. Yeah.
My God. I did love that when that Wolfman reference, the lawyer's secretary, was it Anne? And she's just like, all of a sudden, it felt like if you did this nowadays, I would be rolling my eyes. But since this is like a movie from the 60s where she's like, oh, I love horror movies and just like listing vampires and werewolves and stuff.
Yeah. Which made me feel good that I picked this for October.
Oh yeah. I remember last week we were wondering if this was spooky enough for October and it certainly was. I think it's perfect.
Yeah, and the fact that she brought up, and in the opening song brought up mummies and wolfmen and Dracula and vampires, it was like, oh yeah, this is perfect then for October.
Yeah, I want to talk about the title opening. It's got this goofy song and these it's not full cartoons, but it's beautiful hand drawings.
Oh my God.
Of just, you know, spiders and crazy looking characters, and then the final thing is like the house, you know, slowly being built up and drawings. But so did I see this right, that Lon Chaney wrote the words to that song and he sang it?
I was going to ask you if he sang it, because I was convinced by the time the end of his performance, it had to have been his voice.
Because I
was like, who did they get? Like the guy from, you know, Ed Wood movies. What was his name? Strom Thurmond. I was like, it's either him or it's Lon Chaney singing the song, because it was like gravelly.
Yeah, I think I saw someone mention it in one of the reviews, so I haven't been able to confirm it. God, let's see if I can find it.
Find out. Bring it up.
Bringing it up. So, the song is credited to Ronald Stein and Lon Chaney Jr. I don't know. I can't clarify right now whether he wrote the words, but that's his voice. I can say that much. Okay. So, I mean, this is like Monster Mash time, I imagine.
It was great. It was like the opening for a made for TV movie.
It was awesome.
Or like a sitcom.
It was the perfect palate cleanser, because you turn this movie on, you know, all right, I'm watching a spooky old movie, but this goofy song starts and these mm-hmm. wild drawings, and you're like, okay, well, I don't know what to expect now.
Yeah. Is there a design, like a, you know, the humans, I don't know how to describe it. The human cartoons, like the humans, how they were drawn. Is there a design, like name for that design? Because it's,
I don't know.
Like it, of the time.
It reminded me of, what's that animation company? Is it UAP Animation? What am I thinking? UPA? Yeah. United Productions of America. Like,
is that the Underdog people or?
I think so. Let's see if I can. Mr. Magoo.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They did like limited animation. They did the Dick Tracy cartoon. But yeah. They did that. They did a Telltale Heart, actually, which I think I've seen that before. That was really cool. I'm not an expert.
No, no. I don't want to put you on the spot.
But I feel like it was playing off that UPA style, which...
It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's almost like Pink Panther-ish too, like the openings to the Pink Panther movies kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But with much more limited funds. Man, this movie, Dale. I still feel like I haven't reckoned with how much I liked this movie. Like, I really liked it, I think.
I really liked it because for... You know, if you think about it, for as twisted kind of as it was like sitcom level.
Yeah.
It was like 60s sitcom level in, you know, just, this could be a Munsters episode.
Yeah. And that review, like you read at the beginning, it made me think of, like, in my head, I was like, after I watched it, I was like, it was kind of like the Munsters or Addams Family, but if they actually like killed people and stuff. Like if they actually acted like monsters.
Yeah. Like if they leaned into what the characters they portrayed. Right. Yes. Yes.
Cause it had all like the inter-family bickering and just like, I don't know.
Oh yeah. The two sisters are like the two raptors in the kitchen in Jurassic Park. Like they were like, they had each other's backs, but they were ready to like rip each other's throats out at times. You know, they were just like
so
bickering.
Good. They did so much acting with their eyes too. Like they would just give each other looks and you're like, oh my God, these two.
There was one particular, it was towards the end of the movie. I should have wrote it down, but Emily gave this look like she was not to be messed with, or she just figured something out. Like, did they just, you know, did Uncle Schlocker or whatever? Like, I forget exactly what it was, but it was the most gold moment of the movie. So I should have therefore wrote it down.
Is it Elizabeth or I can never remember which one it is, but the spider sister, her moment when she gets Uncle Peter, when Virginia gets Uncle Peter at the end of towards the end of the movie on the chair, and she ties him up and she sits on his lap and is like, oh, do you think Anne's pretty? And he's like, oh yeah. He's like, do you find me pretty? Like that moment, I was like, oh my God, it's like, what's that famous book? That Stanley Kubrick made the movie of? Lolita. It was like we were watching a scene from Lolita almost. And it made me very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But it was like, it was so sinister too. Cause you know, he knew what she was like. He's all worried. Mm-hmm. Cause he's an adult and this is his niece or whatever. And he's tied up and freaked out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like the implications.
Yeah.
And you know, what she's thinking in behind, like the violence that she is willing to unleash when he says the wrong thing, you know what I mean? But like on camera and for us, it's like, that's all hidden behind like this weird innocence in this conversation.
Yeah.
Her ability to do that. And with that Uncle Peter guy, like I loved Peter's willingness to accept the family for who they were for most of the movie.
Oh my God. Okay. I don't know if you'll take this as an insult or a compliment. I felt like Uncle Peter was you in a certain sense. I could imagine you going into the situation and wanting to believe the best in everyone. And yes. And like what he does, he like plays along and he's like treating them as, you know, family and being like, oh, hey, you know, no, that's pretty neat. Yeah. Even though like it's insane. Like this house is nuts. It's terrifying.
Right.
But yes. He's doing his best. To just be like, hey, you know, everyone's different.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
I love like that. So, right, about, yeah, I love right. that about Uncle Peter.
I thought that was the great, it might have been one of my favorite characters because of that, because he was playing along with like their weird dinner habits and, you know, they were eating cat. Like,
oh, that
you
was
know,
amazing. It's like, oh, it's rabbit. That's rabbit.
He's like, oh, give me some of that. And he's willing to eat like the bugs and the cabbage, whatever. It looked like purple cabbage and bugs, but whatever Virginia is about to dig into, he's like, you know, fine.
Yeah.
I'll take some of that too. With not like a discerning look, not with like this weird hesitation. He's just like, okay, let's get this over with. If I'm here for the night to figure out what's going on, okay.
But
fine.
They're
family.
And I liked the other layer where it was like, because he was there with his sister, Emily, and I feel like he was, like he is a good person, but I think he was also trying to make up for her rudeness and disgustedness in the situation.
That
I loved that too.
That is definitely me
oh,
then.
Oh my God.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
Speaking of Emily.
You should have seen me for 30 days in Italy when my son Reed is stone cold, not thanking a person, not speaking to anyone who holds out their hand to shake his hand and he just stares at it. Like, I am just trying to
oh, poor Dale.
I am just like making everybody happy at that point. Like, God. Yeah, let me go over the top to,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, but yeah, I had to drive my point across there, but yeah. But Peter was like, definitely had to make up for Emily's rudeness.
Yeah. But I loved Emily. She was low key one of my favorite characters. I just loved how mercenary she was, like about getting this house, and even though it was like
that's
unbelievable that they showed up and they were still like frothing at the idea of getting this house and whatever is
after seeing it.
Like, yeah, after walking in the threshold, I would be like, "All right, lawyer, maybe this is not worth it. Let's not force our way in and stay the night."
Yeah, right.
But she wanted it. And I loved how ridiculous it was after she didn't eat dinner. She just ate the chips and retired to that bedroom, put a chair in front of the door, and then just started doing a sexy striptease with lingerie by herself. Oh my God. Just a perfect, insane scene that didn't make any sense.
Yes.
And then we get Bruno spelunking, not Bruno.
Ralph.
Ralph spelunking Ralph outside the window.
He's like hanging upside down like a vampire.
Yeah. But I was, oh my God, I was in love with that.
The fact that she had the wherewithal to pack that lingerie. I mean, she was hot.
Oh my God. It was smoking. My living room.
I would have not taken my sneakers off.
I know.
In this house, and she was down to her like, what is the thing with the straps down the thighs, the garters, like it's all,
I know.
She is all rolling, man.
An unsanitary place. Everything is unsanitary.
Everything.
And she's just like,
I'm glad. I am glad they didn't show one floor in this place because I would have been freaked out.
Maybe that's just Emily's bedtime routine. That's just, she has to like,
yeah,
get sexy and comfortable in order to get some sleep.
Maybe that's the only way she can, you know, like feel right mm-hmm. with herself.
Yeah.
I liked after she was, I guess, seemingly attacked by Ralph and, you know, like, I don't know how far it went, but I liked after the fact she was like resurrected as like this voracious, like maniacal, violent sex, like,
yeah, there was like this
edge to her that was, yeah, it was like, what has she turned into and why am I into it?
Yeah, it was, yeah, there was room for interpretation because they definitely made it seem like she was raped by Ralph.
Yeah.
In the woods. But she wakes up with this maniacal look. And at first I was like, yeah, she does look like she's been turned into a sex starved beast. But then she like immediately just kills Ralph, right?
Yeah. And then she goes after Ralph again. Yeah. I thought it was going to be the other way around.
It turned, you know, like around in my head where she just woke up determined to kill her aggressor.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But
okay.
Yeah. But she had maybe it was the laundry that was distracting us. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it was. And I mean, she did kind of have a horny look on her face.
She did. She did.
You know, it was kind of like that too.
I love that she, like everyone that just, Uncle Peter's tied up in the living room and all the people that just walk right past him. And he's like yelling for help. They don't even look.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Peter. The best of us. Peter, the best of us.
When the climax when, so Uncle Bruno, he can tell even if, not Uncle Bruno, sorry. Bruno, chauffeur Bruno. He comes to the realization that these are not going to be the last people who are going to come and take away their way of life. Even if they kill them all, feed them to the monsters in the basement.
Yeah.
There's going to be more coming. But he made a promise to Daddy that he was going to never leave these kids and they'll never have to leave their home because the world wouldn't understand them. So He's all of a sudden he gets an idea. He's like, oh, I have to leave the house, children. It'll take a few minutes. I'm going to come back with a special surprise for you. I knew immediately what he's doing. I didn't know how, but I was like, oh, he's going to like,
Oh, you did.
Yeah. During that speech, I was like, oh, he's just going to kill everyone. Like that's how they're never going to leave. He's just going to destroy, you know, I thought he was just going to light the place on fire with him in it, but he comes back with a crate of dynamite.
Yeah, dude. Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense because he had to stop the car because they were blasting the road. I was wondering where he went to get the dynamite. It. Yeah. You just made me realize that there was dynamite for a reason.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you where he got the dynamite, but that's the road blasting.
Yeah. That monologue when he starts to tear up.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was
on screen. There was no breaks where if I was to shoot water in his eyes.
I couldn't believe it. Lon Chaney got, I was like, wow, look at Lon Chaney Jr. Okay. All right. There's something wrong with me. Maybe I need to gain a new perspective, Dale.
Wow. If you're just tuning in this week's show, Chuck's looking inward and maybe looking to gain new perspective on Lon Chaney Jr.
Look, we contain multitudes, and that does, you know, that counts for Lon Chaney Jr. as well.
Yes, exactly. It does, and there's no less of Lon Chaney Jr. Should be held to the same respect.
And I loved Bruno's politeness up to the end when he lights the stick of dynamite, and Uncle Peter's running around trying to find Anne in the coffin, and he's like, "You better get out of here." Really quickly. Like, it's funny because he's only concerned with destroying the children and the creeps in the cellar. But Uncle Peter, he's like, no, that guy's innocent. He doesn't need to be involved in this. You should get out of here.
Right. Because even if Peter was a bad person,
yeah.
You know, if the family's gone, there's no reason for the bad people to come after the family anymore, you know. It's like, but yeah. Peter was one of the good ones. He was a good one.
That's true.
I think, yeah. And Bruno could see that too, I think.
Yeah, I think he earned his place as a survivor.
I think the whole back and forth between, was it Peter and Anne?
Yeah, the secretary.
Yeah, like the whole, like it. In the car together. And
I was
like,
so into that.
Yeah, they were like super flirting over the dinner table, and then they like had the opportunity to go get some drinks, and yeah. Peter was like drunk driving. That was a thing.
I love that the drunk driving was just, yeah. Wasn't illegal yet. It was just a quirky thing that people did.
Right, right. Yeah. Oh man. God.
We barely talked about Schlocker, the lawyer. He was fine. He was that he was stupid fine. Mustache, and he got to explore the house. I loved when he found the ear in the box and was like, oh my yeah. God, and just put it back and continued exploring.
We didn't talk about how Virginia and Emily's father makes an appearance.
Oh my God. How about that shot? I was shocked when they panned over. I was like,
yeah.
I thought they were just going to let us wonder.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I thought, honestly, I thought they were going to pan over and it'd be Ralph or something. Because I knew something incestuous was like
yeah.
happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Ralph and Daddy's suit.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But yeah, this was something different altogether.
Daddy's been asleep a long time.
It was great. It was a great touch to this movie.
Yeah, I don't know. We're just gushing. Is this boring for everybody?
Gushing. I mean,
is gushing boring?
It's worth a watch. Yeah. I mean, it's perfectly paced because at times it feels like it's like a slow burn, but there's not too many characters. It's telling a great story, well paced. I think it's just a fantastic, fantastic chance. You should take a look at it.
Oh my God, I saw there's an Arrow Blu-ray of this. FYI,
is there really?
It is. Yeah.
F me alive.
I found one of the special features from that disc online of Jack Hill revisiting the house. I think it was shot in 2006, so it was probably for some other DVD. But
oh, that's cool.
But it was it wasn't that interesting. The only interesting thing was that the house was in a very densely populated neighborhood, like tons of houses. And he was just saying how they had to be very careful to mask, you know, things with black or shoot them at the right angles to make it feel like they're in the middle of nowhere. Cause it's like,
yeah,
it's just a neighborhood in LA. Like,
wow.
Super, you know, houses everywhere. I was like, oh, wow. That's, man, they did a great job making it feel like it was out in the middle of nowhere. It's great. Oh,
wow.
One other thing, Dale, they got their money's worth of using that dumbwaiter in the house. The amount of times corpses or Ralph went by the room on the dumbwaiter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ralph. Yeah. Even if he wasn't in the scene,
yeah,
he was in the scene, which is great.
I think my favorite Ralph moment was him on the couch with his head on the seat of the couch with his butt in the air and his pants split, just doing nothing. And then she had the knife in her hand and was staring at his butt. And was like, oh God, she's about to. Yeah. And then she gets distracted by something.
Yeah. I had no idea where that was going.
There's so many, man, this movie. Phew. Hall of Fame. Put it in the Hall of Fame. Put it up.
Bat and Spider Hall of Fame. For sure.
Put it in there.
That was Spider Baby.
Yeah. Spider Baby. Jack Hill. Round of applause for Jack Hill. Jack Hill. Thank you.
Good job, Jack.
Dale, what's next? We got any mail? We got any feedback? We got any voicemails? We got any letters?
315-544-0966. That's the official Bat and Spider hotline. batandspiderpod@gmail.com. It's the official Bat and Spider email hotline. Let me check. I don't think we do, but unless we got something over the wire while we're recording, which happens.
Yeah, it happens.
But considering nobody has ever seen this movie before but us, you never know. Chuck, doesn't look like we have anything this week because people are probably watching Spider Baby as we speak. But remember.
That must be it.
Remember, to after you're done and rewinding in the Corvette rewinder, in the Corvette shaped VHS rewinder, send us an email or leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, I don't know who used to say this to me, but what's the worst that can happen, Dale? You send us a little voicemail, a little email.
What's the worst that could happen? What's the worst that happened to anybody else has previously done it? Nothing. If anything, they're held in high esteem.
Exactly. Well.
And while you're doing that, join our Discord. Go to batandspider.com and join our Discord. We have fun in there, and new people are joining daily, it seems like. You know, people are just getting in on the love. And go to batandspider.com to check out our new stickers that Chuck designed. Thank you, Chuck.
Get those stickers. Shout out to all the heads out there who ordered stickers. Thank you so much. I shipped them
very
promptly. We got plenty of them. So get it. And they're cheap. Did I say they're cheap? They're cheap. We don't overcharge for stickers at Bat and Spider.
Exactly. Yeah. Come on. We're better than that.
Come on.
Chuck, it's your turn to pick a movie. We're midway through October here.
I know.
Spooky land.
Two movies spooky left, dying. Right? For October. My God. Right? That's crazy.
At least. Spooky land.
Spooky land. Okay. God damn it, Dale. So I have a list that I made and I can't decide. It's between two.
I'm better than that.
All right, F it. I'm going to go with a very un-Chuck pick, all right?
Okay.
This is a post-2000s pick, Dale.
Wow.
Post-Y2K. But it is by a legend. We're going to watch 2004's Toolbox Murders.
I've heard of this.
You haven't seen it, right?
Oh, I haven't seen it. Whoa, look at this. Look at this. My God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Look at this poster. I can't.
I know. This is not my thing, but it is Toby Hooper and I've...
Oh, Toby Hooper.
I mean, I don't know if you see scores in your feed, but I've heard this talked about by people I respect that this is a movie to watch. So, we're going to get into a little bit of a... post-2000s horror movies. I think it's going to get gross up in here.
Yeah, I mean, this is like, you know, the gloves are off post-2000s. It's just like, let's just show everybody everything. Young couple Steve and Nell move into a once fashionable but now decaying apartment block in Hollywood and soon realize that a number of young residents have met unusually violent deaths. Before long, Nell makes some disturbing discoveries about the building's manager and her fellow tenant. Oh my God. Yeah. What are we up to here?
I don't know. I'm already second guessing this pick, but I'm doing it for the listeners.
We're doing it for the listeners.
We need to do something. We need to get these numbers up, Dale. The engagement needs to go up.
I know. You're right. Because what's the point?
And what's everyone clamoring for in October? It's a movie from 2004. Directed by Toby Hooper in the twilight of his years. That's what everyone's clamoring for. If this doesn't do it, I don't know.
I can't imagine the numbers. They're going to be through the roof after we release this episode, yeah. Chuck.
People are going to be like, finally they're watching something relevant.
I can't even picture the number of people who have the Toolbox Murders Google alert set up. They're going to be getting... pinged.
My God.
When this episode drops.
The amount of pings they're going to get that day in their Gmail account. It's the one they've been waiting for.
They're going to be like, finally, justification.
They'll be flying up those dumb waiters.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. And Bat and Spider's bringing it to you.
I mean, I look at this poster and I ask myself, what am I doing? Why did I pick this movie?
Yeah, this is like, I'm reeling at this.
But I got a lot of friends who like this movie, so.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and what did we watch? We watched his carnival movie. We love that. We love that crazy movie.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
That was a good movie. And the other one, spontaneous human combustion.
Oh my God, that's right.
Remember that?
That was Tobe Hooper too? Oh my God. That was a dumb movie.
But Brad Dourif, man.
Just a normal guy, Brad Dourif. I'm just
Dick
a normal
Buckus
guy.
Was in that movie. Yeah, R.I.P.
That's right. R.I.P.
Anyway, let's get out of here because you know what? I'm feeling good about this runtime right now.
Charlie. Oh, look at that runtime. Oh, Dale.
Feeling good.
Yeah. I think we made some good choices this week. All right, Dale, I love you. I love you. Bye.
That means we're back. Chuck, that means we're back in the driver's seat.
I know. It's starting to feel normal again. Last week was awkward. Felt awkward.
It was bad.
But
this week?
Yeah. Feel like we're getting into it. Feel like it's, yeah.
Yeah. We're back. Everybody out there, we love you.
Yeah.
Happy, no, I'm not even going to say happy Friday the 13th because you might not be listening. Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
Ciao.
God. Our theme song was created by Tobe Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.
Are sure to end up in somebody's tummy. Take a fresh rodent, some toadstools and weeds, and add an old owl and the young one she breeds. Mix in 7 legs from an 8-legged beast, and then you're all set for a cannibal feast. Sit round a fire with this cup of brew, a fiend and a werewolf on each side of you. This cannibal orgy is strange to behold, and the maddest story ever told.